stay connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Tuesday, January 20th. More than a quarter of San Diegans don't have enough to eat. More on that next, but first, the headlines. The U.S. Department of the Interior has named two San Diego Bay ferries to its National Register of Historic Places. The Silver Gate, built in 1940, and the Cabrillo, built in 1964, are both still in operation today. The Silver Gate began service just before the U.S. entered into World War II. It began as a transportation method for those traveling from San Diego to Naval Station North Island on Coronado. A statement from Flagship Cruises and Events says the Cabrillo was operated as an excursion vessel during the post-war maritime recreation boom. The repair to the massive sinkhole on Morena Boulevard near Sherman Street isn't expected to be fully completed until this evening. The City of San Diego said the broken pipe that caused the sinkhole was fixed Friday. Then crews from AT&T and SDG&E need to fix their damaged lines before the trench can be filled, water restored, and roads reopened. Almost a dozen businesses in the area have been without water since Thursday. Forecasters say that the dry and warm weather should continue across the county today. Temperatures are expected to be roughly 5 to 10 degrees above average for this time of year. Tomorrow, a cooling trend will begin and continue through Friday. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
This season on Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly, I'm going to classes, workshops, and private venues designed to enrich and broaden our sexual horizons, and I'm taking you with me. I meet with an erotic mindfulness coach, get a pelvic floor exam, talk with new moms, and even put on my dancing shoes and take a beginning burlesque class, and much more. Find season 2 of Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly wherever you get your podcasts, and come join me in my search for fun and sexy adventures that are available to you.
Food, shelter, and medical care continue to squeeze San Diegans' pocketbooks. In fact, they still pay some of the highest costs in the country for basic necessities. As a result, more people are going hungry. And a local economist says there are signs of a weakening local labor market. Reporter Amita Sharma spoke to KPBS's Katie Anastas about San Diego's economic outlook for 2026.
Amita, let's start with inflation. What kind of toll are high prices taking on San Diegans?
Well, Katie, let me give you the backdrop of what people in the San Diego region are facing. At 4%, we have the second highest inflation in the country. Broken down, that means that we're paying 5.6% more on housing than in November 2024, 7% more at the gas pump, and around 1% more on food. And this is all according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. You mentioned the toll on people. I spoke with 65-year-old Carol Peter, who lives in a trailer in an RV park in El Cajon. Her rent on a tiny spit of land where her RV sits just went up recently from $750 a month to $1,045 a month. So she now spends 80% of what she receives monthly from Supplemental Security Income on housing, leaving her very little for food. She clips coupons, depends on Meals on Wheels, and CalFresh, but she still does not have enough to eat.
I think I'm just sticking to the basics. You know, I'll eat oatmeal for dinner, and I guess I eat maybe twice a day. Now it's considered trendy to do intermittent fasting, but that's basically what I've decided to do.
And Amitha, given what we just heard about housing taking up an overwhelming share of household budgets, how is hunger and food insecurity in the region?
It's not good, Katie, and it's expected to get worse. In fact, the numbers haven't been this high since the pandemic. And since the pandemic, nationally, the cost of food has risen 25%. Joseph Kendrick of the San Diego Hunger Coalition says food insecurity in the area has risen in recent years in lockstep with inflation and with stagnant pay. Today, there are 850,000 people who don't have enough to eat in a county of just over 3 million people, so around 26% of San Diegans. Kendrick says it's higher, 32% for children and 39% for people with disabilities.
I think it says that we're struggling as a county. I think a lot of this is wages. It means that workers just simply aren't being paid enough, especially with the exorbitant cost of living and the exorbitant cost of raising children in this county with how expensive home prices are, rent is, gas, food. I mean, all of these things make it so hard for people to just be able to afford basic needs and put food on the table.
And speaking of wages, Amitha, how are we doing on the job front in 2026?
Well, at 4.6%, unemployment in San Diego County is a smidge higher than the national average, basically mirroring it. And local economist Alan Jin characterizes the local labor market as a little weak right now. He blames uncertainty.
The tariff situation keeps changing, and so if you're a business, it's difficult for you to make plans, particularly about hiring people and making a commitment to hire somebody for the long term if you don't know then what your input prices are going to be or whether or not then you're going to have to pay the tariff somewhere along the line.
And Katie, I do want to add the Bureau of Labor Statistics releases inflation figures for local metropolitan areas every 2 months. Nationally, every month, and inflation ticked up just 0.3% across the country in December, 2.7% over the last year. Nationally, inflation spiked for energy, medical services, and housing. We've seen those same spikes right here in San Diego.
Amitha, thank you.
Thank you, Katie.
That was Amitha Sharma speaking with Katie Anastas. The reporting was made possible by the Public Matters Partnership. Find out more about Public Matters online at kpbs.org. Enhanced federal tax credits helped more than 30,000 San Diegans gain health coverage through Covered California since 2021. Those subsidies expired on December 31st. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco explains how federal changes are affecting who's buying health insurance as the open enrollment deadline approaches.
Since 2021, enhanced federal tax credits helped keep health insurance affordable for about 150,000 people in San Diego County. But those extra subsidies expired at the end of last year.
We do still have tax credits in 2026, no matter what Congress does, and most people are eligible for them.
Jessica Altman runs Covered California. She says fewer people are signing up for the first time compared to last year.
New enrollment, like the rest of the state, is down about a third in San Diego.
Covered California is also seeing more people cancel coverage or switch to lower cost plans with higher deductibles. That's especially true among middle-income earners.
It can cause people to not seek care they would otherwise. On the other hand, they are staying covered.
Open enrollment runs through January 31st. Covered California says free enrollment help is available online, by phone, and through local community partners. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
The All People's Celebration each year recognizes community leaders for their work. Organizers say even though there's a renewed sense of urgency for activists, this work is constant. Reporter Andrew Dyer was at Monday's event and brings us this report.
Singing, dancing, and drumming. Community organizations gathered on the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday to connect, share breakfast, and lift each other up. Lawana Richmond is the board president of Alliance San Diego, which hosted the event at Balboa Park. She says those expressions of joy are what the day is all about.
A celebration of joy and love and peace and an opportunity for us to remember that joy itself is resistance.
Richmond says one lesson from King that resonates today is his love for humanity.
And it wasn't any one population or demographic group. And I think that we are in a place where more people need to understand how connected we all are.
She says that's why it's so important to have an all people's celebration. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
KPBS was one of the event's sponsors. The KPBS News operation maintains editorial independence from KPBS executives, SDSU, and corporate underwriters and donors. After millions of gallons of sewage spilled into San Diego over the last few days, federal officials say the flows have stopped. The cause was a major sewage pipe collapse in Mexico last week. Environment reporter Tammy Murga says this has since been repaired.
The stench of raw sewage penetrated Bobby Otero's Nestor home last week. This wasn't the first time.
When it's really bad, I feel like I can taste it. You're coming down the street a half a mile away and you've got your windows down because it's a beautiful San Diego day and it's like, oh, there's that odor.
Federal officials say beginning Thursday, about 11 million gallons more of untreated wastewater gushed into San Diego each day. The Insurgentes wastewater system in eastern Tijuana had collapsed, sending untreated sewage into the Tijuana River. Philip Musiga says this latest spill calls for an urgent end to the sewage crisis. He's with the nonprofit San Diego Coastkeeper.
We need more attention and more action on the part of Mexico.
Also last week, congressional leaders announced securing nearly $3.5 million to remove trash from the Tijuana River Valley. Tammy Murga, KPBS News.
Late musician Rick Froberg found national acclaim as a rock star. Arch reporter Julia Dixon Evans explains how a new book explores a side of Froberg not everyone saw, his visual art.
Saw the band stuff. He was the artist for all of his band art, all the bands.
Rick Froberg died in 2023 at age 55. Known for his bands Drive Like Jehu, Obits, and Hot Snakes, the news shook the local and national music scenes. His musical journey was one of those rare made-it stories. And through all of his musical success, he was always making art.
Rick started drawing as soon as he was old enough to pick up a pencil, and he really never stopped.
Britton Neubacher, Froberg's longtime partner, worked with a team to gather some of his visual art in a new book, Plenty for All. The book includes a huge range of sketches, band posters, liner cut prints, and watercolors.
I also am excited for people to get maybe a more intimate sense of the person himself, a deeply complex and huge-hearted force of nature.
Julia Dixon Evans, KPBS News.
Artists and musicians will discuss the book and perform an acoustic set tonight at 7 at the Book Catapult. The 36th annual San Diego International Jewish Film Festival kicks off this Saturday with Once Upon My Mother. Cinema junkie Beth Accomando brings us a preview of the festival.
For more than three decades, the San Diego International Jewish Film Festival has celebrated Jewish culture through film and used cinema to inspire, entertain, and foster connection. This year, the festival arrives amid continued tensions in the Middle East and increasing political unrest in the United States. Several films highlight women whose passionate activism might be just the motivation we need right now. Iron Ladies documents the story of Jewish housewives and mothers who, at the height of the Cold War, defended the rights and freedoms of Soviet Jews in the USSR, and won. Known as the 35s, this international network of women had no prior political experience, but they refused to stand idly by.
To be really effective, we had to get under the teeth of the Soviet government. We tried to stay within the law, but we were probably on the edge.
No one could control them. You could advise them, sure.
If not this group of 35 women, we all will be dead.
In the animated film Where is Anne Frank? Kitty, the imaginary friend to whom Anne dedicated her diary, comes to life. She's shocked to see how history repeats itself, but also inspired by Anne's enduring legacy.
Anne did not write this diary so that you could worship her.
What is important?
Get in the truck.
Do everything you can to save one single soul from harm.
Exemplifying that idea is Henrietta Szold.
Henrietta Szold may be the most famous Jewish female icon you've never heard of.
Filmmaker Abby Ginsberg hopes to change that with her documentary, Labors of Love, The Life and Legacy of Henrietta Szold. Szold was a Victorian woman transformed into a pioneering political activist we can still learn from today.
I feel like I resurrected her views of why it was so important to not ignore the fact that there were Arabs who lived in Palestine. So Henrietta felt like we should be able to work this out. Her viewpoint did not win out. And when the view about we are creating a Jewish state in which the Jews are going to be, you know, we're not interested in binationalism, we want a Jewish state. They did that to some extent at their peril. And we are looking at some of the terrible repercussions that come from the choices that were made back in the 30s and the 40s. So one lesson that we might learn from Henrietta's experience would be, well, if you agree with Henrietta's view that we have to somehow figure out how not to go for either a maximalist Jewish position or a maximalist Arab position, what does that look like today?
Learning lessons is also key in the documentary, The Last Spy.
My name is Peter Sichel. I'm 100 years old. I was the head of the CIA in Berlin and worked in Washington with the CIA, and ultimately ended up at Chiapas Station in Hong Kong.
He gives an often critical view of U.S. foreign intelligence from the inside.
Collecting reliable intelligence is difficult enough, but people in high places have an idea of what it should be. And if the intelligence doesn't fit, they don't believe the intelligence.
So why did you stay?
It's like being on a drug. It is a fascinating game.
And it's a fascinating film that provides candid insights that illuminate ongoing issues today, showing how we're still not learning from the past. The San Diego International Jewish Film Festival serves up shorts, features, and documentaries that take us through history and personal narratives, sometimes with joy, sometimes with pain, but always with a desire to foster understanding and dialogue. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
The San Diego International Jewish Film Festival runs Saturday through February 4th in person at the Lawrence Family Jewish Community Center, followed by a virtual screening program starting February 5th. That's it for today's podcast. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Have a great day.
Central to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a team-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.